Washington or a state capital, we're sadly mistaken. We desperately need the power of God. We need the Word of God by which we get His power. And my prayer is that in this message today, that God will touch hearts. I want to preach on a critical subject. I've preached on it many times, but it's a message that I preach to myself often. I want to ask you a simple question. Have you got the wisdom of God in your life? Are you operating under the wisdom of God? You know what? Sometimes I think we forget. It's not experience and it's not talent. It's heaven-sent wisdom that we rely on. Unsaved people that don't know Christ at all can have talent, and they can have experience, but only God's people can have heaven-sent wisdom, and it's a critical thing. You'll recall the story of Solomon when God had so blessed him, and God said to Solomon, Solomon, what would you like if I give you anything? Now, Solomon could have asked for length of days. He could have asked for wealth. He could have asked for peace with his enemies. But instead, he said, give me wisdom. God said, because you've asked for wisdom, I'm going to give you everything you didn't ask for. Never forget how critical wisdom is with God. And the wisdom that God gave Solomon, God would give to us. Listen to what the Bible says in the book of Proverbs, chapter 3. And I read these verses, starting at chapter 3, verse 13. Happy is the man that findeth wisdom, and the man that getteth understanding. Now listen to what God says next. For the merchandise of it is better than the merchandise of silver, and the gain thereof than fine gold. She is more precious than rubies, and all the things thou canst desire are not to be compared unto her. God says if you as a Christian have the opportunity to have unspeakable wealth or wisdom, choose wisdom. Well, Brother Gibbs, if I had the choice of unspeakable riches, I think maybe I'd try the riches, because think of what all we could do. No, no, no. God says, I want you to get your priorities right. And the key to wisdom is that we have the priority that God puts on it. Now, someone says, but what is wisdom, Brother Gibbs? Well, don't ever confuse wisdom with knowledge. Knowledge is simply knowing things. Knowledge is an accumulation of facts and understandings. Wisdom is something far different. Wisdom is knowing what to do and when to do it. Heaven sent, that's wisdom. I've known some very knowledgeable people. Somebody can be a knowledgeable businessman or a knowledgeable mechanic or a knowledgeable pilot. But that's not what God puts the priority on. Thankful for those skill sets. But God says wisdom is knowing what to do and when to do it. Turn in your Bibles to the book of James chapter 1. And I want you to see how God says you and I can have this heaven-sent wisdom. Remember, whenever you go to the book of James, this is the half-brother to the Savior Jesus Christ. And he was talking to Christians that were in a difficult period. They were a scattered people. It says, James chapter 1, verse 1, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. The reason they were scattered was because of persecution. These were believers having a very difficult time. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations. You know what? That's a verse that's a command. God says when trials and temptations and difficulties come our way, we are to count it all joy. The world doesn't understand that. They say, how in the world can you be joyful? How can you be thankful? The scripture says, in everything give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. How can we be thankful? How can we count it all joy? Well, not humanly, you can't. But by the divine power of God, you can. Count it all joy, knowing that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect, entire, wanting nothing. God never wastes a trial. Every difficulty, every valley we ever have to go through is by a divine appointment that God wants to use in our lives. That's why he says, count it all joy. God's doing something. But now look at the next two verses, the next three verses, starting at verse 5 in James chapter 1. If any of you lack wisdom, and there's the first requirement to getting wisdom. Remember, not knowledge, wisdom. Wisdom is knowing what to do and when to do it. And God says, if you will acknowledge that you lack. Well, David, I probably don't have as much wisdom as I'd like to have, but I feel I have some. No, as you're about to read in this passage, God doesn't just give a little bit. He doesn't give a dabble of wisdom. If you have heaven-sent wisdom, God says he gives it liberally, liberally. I can't believe the number of people over the years who've come to me and said, Brother Gibbs, I don't know what to do, and I sure don't know when to do it. How do I find out? And I said, well, you're seeking wisdom. And God says it starts with acknowledging that you lack. That's the first key. You see, man can't produce this. Only God can produce this. And God says, I want you to start out by saying, I got to have God, because he's the only one who can do this. I lack. Now, my grandfather never had a great education. He never completed the eighth grade. He left school early. If I recall right, he was three times held back in the eighth grade because he just didn't have a lot of acumen for school. But he went out and he did something. And when he left school, the one thing he could do was slaughter a cow. He knew how to do that. He grew up on a farm. And so what he did the day after he left school, just a young man, he made a deal to buy a cow, slaughtered that cow, put it on a horse-drawn wagon, took it into town and sold it. The next morning he got up and did the same thing. Next morning after that, the same thing. And finally, one cow became two, and two became five, and five became 10. And God blessed what he was doing. And by the time I came along, my dad and my granddad were slaughtering 5,000 to 7,000 cattle a week, putting them in semis and sending them everywhere. My granddad did not have a lot of education, but he had something that was invaluable. When I would hear my granddad pray, and I heard him pray this prayer hundreds of times, he would say, Lord, this is Earl. And I always said, Grandpa, why do you tell God your name? He'd say, because that's my name. He'd say, Lord, this is Earl, and you know I lack. I know I lack. God, I got to have your wisdom. When's the last time from the depths of your heart that you went to the Lord and stopped counting on your experience or your talent? When is the last time you went to God and said, if I'm going to know what to do and when to do it, God, I lack. I need heaven-sent wisdom. He would pray that, God, I lack. I've got to have your help. He said, I have 1,000 men every week I have to give a paycheck to. And God, I don't know what to do and when to do it, but you do. You know what I should do. And God, I'm asking you, please, give me your wisdom. You want wisdom. It starts out with humbling yourself. It starts out with you getting before the Lord and honestly saying, I lack. You can fool me, but nobody fools God. We have to acknowledge that we lack. There was a young man that I went to school with who was brilliant. I don't know that I ever saw a better student. And by the time he was all done with school, He had a law degree, a medical degree, and 3 earned PhDs. He was a brilliant student. There was only one problem. His name was Andy. And Andy would come to me and he'd say, David, I got to talk to you. I don't know what to do, and I don't know when to do it. And I'd say, boy, Andy, with all your education, you see, somebody can be an educated idiot. They can know a lot, but not know what to do with it. Not know what to do and when to do it. Or someone can be very, very limited in formal education, but have heaven-sent wisdom, knowing what to do and when to do it. And he would come to me and he'd say, David, I got to have your help. I got to make decisions. And you got to talk to your God for me. Boy, my friend, don't ever trade knowledge or education for heaven-sent wisdom. Now, I think you ought to get all the skill sets you can. I encourage everybody, boy, if you have the privilege to get education, be sure that you do it. But don't substitute heaven-sent wisdom. And it starts with acknowledging that you lack. First key, humble yourself. Lord, I lack. Look at the second key. If any of you lack wisdom, there's key one, then comes key two. Let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. God said, I'm promising you this. I am going to give you heaven-sent wisdom. It's my promise to you. Let him ask, and it shall be given to him. Yeah, but Brother Gibbs, what if I ask and God doesn't give it? He has promised to give it. Do you understand? Seize and rest in that promise. I lack, and boy, am I asking. Now, the word ask there is the word for asking with specificity. Be sure that you ask God definitely, specifically, for what you need, what to do, and when to do it. Ask. And my granddad, who I told you about, one day called me and he said, David, I was a lawyer at this point. He said, we've been selling a lot of meat internationally and we need to go up and they want to meet with me in New York City and the feds want to be there and all these trade groups and they've asked me to come and I'd like you to go with me just to help me legally. I said, Grandpa, I'd be glad to. We made our way to New York City and the Twin Towers were standing there and I don't know what floor we went up to, but we went way, way up in the Twin Towers. I remember that morning looking out the windows, and you were looking down on the clouds. The cloud layer was underneath the floor we were on. And we're there in this beautiful, beautiful oak-paneled room, a huge meeting room. They had hundreds of tables set up and chairs, and more than they had this lead table and here came the Secretary of Trade and all these different government officials out of the cabinet. And then came all the trade groups, and they're all sitting up there. And then they asked my granddad to sit right in front of them, and they wanted to ask him questions. And so they started asking all these intricate questions about trade and how they were doing it. He said, we know you're selling millions of hamburgers to McDonald's every day, and you're doing all this international trade, and do you understand this, Mr. Gibbs, and do you understand that? And they just went on and on from one to another, and they questioned him and didn't really give him a chance to answer for the better part of like an hour and a half. And finally, the man that was heading up the whole thing, sitting in front of my granddad, said, Mr. Gibbs, we've not really given you a chance to answer. I want to ask you this question. Do you understand what we're talking about? And my granddad looked at him and he said, I am just so glad you asked, because I really don't. I truly don't know what you're talking about. And he said, I'm not sure you know what you're talking about. He said, if I'm hearing you right, you men are contradicting each other. One is saying, absolutely, we should do this. The next one is saying, no, absolutely, you shouldn't do that. You need to do this. Some of what you want us to change everything. Some of you don't want us to change anything. And I'm not sure that you men know what you're saying. And when he said that, there was a lady sitting right in front of us taking a transcript, a court reporter. And she said a strange thing. She looked at me and said, "Been a long time since somebody told these guys they don't know what they're doing. Bless your granddad." Some of these men were elbowing each other, and I heard one say to the chairman at the front, "Boy, I think he's got his number. He's right. We're not sure what we're doing sometimes." My granddad said, "Gentlemen, you need to understand something. I didn't build this business. God did." He said, "I'm a man who lacks." And he used that word. "But I serve a God who doesn't. And I pray for God to give me wisdom to know what to do and when to do it." And he said, "It would bless you men if you'd acknowledge before God that you lack and that you'd be willing to seek his guidance." Now he said, "Here's what I'm going to do." He said, "I'm going to excuse myself. And I'm going to go on the way home and buy some cattle, take them back to Cleveland, Ohio, and slaughter them and sell them. Because if I don't do that, you won't have anything to talk about anyway." And he said, "I'm going to leave my grandson here, and whatever he agrees to, that'll be okay. I'll go buy it." But then he turned to me and he said, "Just remember, you've got a lot of education, David, but you lack. We all do. The key is to lack and ask." As my granddad stood up, he said, "This morning in prayer, I started praying at 4:30 for God to give me wisdom, because I have to have it." And he said, "David, you have to have it too." And he said, "Gentlemen, now if you'll excuse me," and he walked out. When he left the room, a strange thing happened. Nobody said a word. I think for probably a minute or more. They sat there stunned a little bit. And finally, the chairman said something. He said, "That man has something, doesn't he? That man has something we don't have. It is. It's called wisdom. Heaven sent. You want wisdom, number one, you got to acknowledge you lack. And then number two, you got to ask. Ask for God to give it." Now, please note what he says. "Let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him." People say, "Well, I just need more of God's wisdom." No, no, no. God doesn't give it in just little pieces. He gives it liberally. He will show you what to do, and he will show you when to do it. Heaven sent wisdom. When I got back to Cleveland, my granddad called me in and I went to see him. And he said, "Man, I'm so excited about what happened." He said, "On the way back from that meeting, I got to buy a bunch of cattle. I got to help some farmers. And I got to really do something good for God." And I said, "Well, you sure made a statement in that meeting." "Oh," he said, "no, I wasn't talking about good for God on that." He said, "I got to witness to a bunch of farmers that were selling cattle." He said, "It was a great day." What to do and when to do it. You got to acknowledge your lack and you got to ask. Now look at the third requirement. It's found in verse 6. "But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed." Now verse 7 is a very concerning verse. "For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord." If you're going to have wisdom, you got to acknowledge you lack, you got to ask, and you got to do it in faith. And if you don't do it in faith, God says, you're not going to get any of it. Whoa. How did we get so comfortable operating without God's wisdom? "Let not that man think he shall receive anything of the Lord." Wisdom. I think one of the problems with wisdom is when God gives it, he expects us to do it. He expects us to ask in faith, nothing wavering. Boy, underline that. It is in my Bible. God, I'm not just feeling you out on this. I'm not just testing. I want to do what you want me to do. I want to do what you want when you want. Wisdom. And that's the key. Are you willing to do what God gives you? I used my granddad as an example here again. One day he called me in and he said, David, we didn't do right by this farmer. He said, we bought this farmer's cattle too cheap. And I looked at the paperwork there and I said, no, Grandpa, we didn't do anything wrong. We just stole them at auction. We were high bid and nobody bid it up and we just stole them at auction. We didn't do anything wrong. He said, David, that's not how a Christian does it. He said, you want somebody to buy your cattle too cheap? I said, no. He said, then don't you ever do it to anybody else. Remember, he said, I'm to treat that farmer the same way I'd want to be treated. And if I don't want somebody to do that to me, then I'm forbidden by God to do it to them. He said, that's wisdom, son. He said, now let me tell you what I've done. I've put a bunch of money in this envelope. And I want you to drive and get to that farmer. I'll never forget, it was the dead of winter. Snow was flying in Ohio. That farm was about 300 miles away. He said, I want you to get there before they go to bed so they're not worried. And I want you to give them this. And I want you to tell them we bought their cattle too cheap and we don't do that to people. We're Christians. And we want to treat them the way we'd want to be treated. Boy, I jumped in a car and I started driving and I thought, well, I wonder if I'd do this. I wonder if you'd do it. Oh, not me, Brother Gibbs. If I can get the better end of the deal, I'm going to ring it blue because I'm in it for me. That's not heaven sent. Remember, what you're doing as a child of God is for God. Heaven sent. Wisdom. I opened the envelope to look in it just for a moment, and my granddad had told me how much cash was in there. There was 20-some-odd thousand dollars in cash. And all the way there, I kept thinking, would I do this? Would I be willing to say, I want to do it the way God wants it done? I want heaven sent wisdom. Or would I just brag about my good deal and how, yeah, it was good for me even though it wasn't good for someone else? When we got there, it was dark. Their lights were still on. Snow was flying. And I walked up on the porch at their house and I knocked on the window. And a lady came and she pulled a little curtain back and looked out. And then she opened it and she and her husband came. And I said, my name's Dave Gibbs. And my granddad, Earl Gibbs, asked me to come. We're Christians, and we bought your cattle too cheap. And we don't do that to people. We want to treat you the way we'd want to be treated. Here, we want to make this right. I handed her the money. They opened the envelope, and they looked in it. The lady started to cry so hard she got a nosebleed. She turned to her husband, and I'll never forget the words. She said, what kind of man does this? What kind of man would send this boy down here to make this right? And her husband looked at her and he said, a Christian, a real Christian. Boy, the world is looking for real Christians. Christians that are going to do God's work, God's way. Heaven sent wisdom. What to do and when to do it. My granddad sent a lot of people out like that. I made several of those trips. He sent others. He said, I want to be sure every morning when I tell God I lack and give me wisdom that I'm doing it in faith and then get these next words, nothing wavering. God, what you show me, I'm going to do. God bless my granddad, I believe, for that reason. When he passed away and went home to heaven, I'll never forget his funeral. We were going to hold a viewing one afternoon and early evening, and then the funeral, the burial, was to be the next morning. Well, they had to postpone the burial because thousands of people should not. Thousands. Cattle people. Here we were in Ohio. They came from Montana, Minnesota, Indiana, Illinois, Florida, Kentucky, Tennessee, Texas. Tons of them came. And for 3 days they walked through and said, we came here because this man was different. This was the man we wanted to be like. That lady that I took that money to and her husband came walking through the line. And I'll never forget, she hugged my neck. And she said, Little Gibbs, that's what they all called me back there. It's hard now to see me and say they call me Little Gibbs, but they all did. And she said, Little Gibbs, be like your granddad. He had something. He had wisdom. Heaven sent wisdom. Knowing what to do and when to do it. Wow. How many decisions have I made without heaven sent wisdom? How many times have I gotten upset and made a decision? Remember, the Bible says the wrath of man does not do the righteousness of God. Doesn't happen. You got to acknowledge your lack. You got to specifically ask. And then in faith, believe it. You're going to do it. Nothing wavering. God, you show me. I'm committed. I want to do it. I want to be the man. I want you to be the man, the woman. No way to be the mom or the dad or the grandparent or the pastor, the businessman. No way to be anything without heaven sent wisdom. Unsaved people have to rely on their education and their experience, their talent set. But God's people have something else they can rely on. Heaven sent wisdom. And God said, you ask, acknowledging you lack, and I'll give it liberally. And when he said, I'll never upbraid you, what a wonderful promise. Doesn't matter how many times you come back, God's never going to say, well, how many times do I have to tell you? He said, I'll never upbraid you, but I'll give it to you in measure beyond anything you need. I'll give it to you liberally. I've met some wonderful people in America. I've met businessmen, pastors, moms and dads, just great people. But do they have wisdom? Can they say, I have something from God, not just my salvation, not just his abiding presence, but the very thing he gave to Solomon, wisdom. If any of you lack, let him ask. And do it in faith, nothing wavering. It will change